Amen. I hope that song is been a blessing to you this morning. And you know who taught her? Who takes their hands to sing? I'm just joking. But this morning, and I hope that you can pray for me because it's been 3 years that we never been back here. So right now, I'm having a problem again in speaking in English. And again, there's a translation happening in my mind right now. So I hope that you can pray for me. And now we are in adjusting moment right now. We are adjusting our body, the temperature, especially, amen. And at the time, and even our stomach, amen. But again, church, thank you so much for all your prayers for us in the Philippines. If you have your Bible with you, please open with me in the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Let's read the verse 19 up to 20. Or 18, I should say. I'm sorry. Verse 18 down to verse number 20. Are you there? Say amen. 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 And let me just read it and just follow in your eyes. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This morning, I would like to preach and title this message, The Master's Program. The Master's Program. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this moment or this time that we can study thy word. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we had. Thank you, Lord, that this morning we can study thy word and be a blessing, O Lord, to each and everyone. May you help me, O Lord, this morning. And Lord, you know my limitation. You know my condition right now. I pray, Lord, that may you give me a words to say to thy people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Don't worry, I will not keep you long. My English is limited, man. There's an expiration of my English. The master's program. Our master's program for this age is not social. It's not social, economic, or political. Planned and documented long ago, my friends, his program is found in the New, or the found in five New Testament passage we call the Great Commission. Here the Lord's command before returning to heaven becomes our first concern. To begin, let's take a look at three of the five passages, the one that we read a while ago, and then the second one is found in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And this is what the Bible says. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here we see, my friends, the master's program. The master's program for this age is plain and simple. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible records the names of many who accepted his program. We can see the Apostle Peter. Apostle Peter was one. His sermon on the day, my friends, of the Pentecost is evidence of his acceptance of the Lord's command. He preached and souls were saved. He preached many other times, and as a result, many came to know the Savior. We can see also Philip. One is Philip, my friends. Philip was another who obeyed the Master's call. He went out and preached to crowds, but he also preached to an Ethiopian eunuch in the desert country. The Master commanded also the churches. Amen? The Master commanded churches to be a missionary-minded. And I'm so thankful because this church is a mission-minded church. Amen? And some obey and some did not. For example, the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem faltered. They received the first message of our Savior, but they were not the first ones to answer wholeheartedly. They call up God to send out missionary. Second church that we can see is the churches in Galatia. The church in Galatia were failure. They got into arguments and turned aside from the missionary zeal that God desires. But the church in Antioch was faithful. The church in Antioch was faithful, my friends. This church sent out missionary and God gave spiritual blessings unto them. Someone said, my friends, our church is so burdened down with its own problem. We have no place for missions. If that is the case, my friends, unfortunately, the problems in our church are likely to continue. If we have no place for missions, my friend, then we have no place to receive the power of God. So in this generation, the question becomes, are we obeying the Great Commission? Listen to this interesting viewpoint, my friends. I have read that if we could preach the population of the world right now, so no one else would be born and no one else died, and we continue winning souls at the same rate that we have been winning them, it would take 320 years to win the United States of America. Win them, United States in America to Christ. And it would take 4,000 years to win the world to Christ. But we cannot preach the population, my friends. We cannot preach the population like it is. Right now, while I'm preaching, people are dying and going to hell. My friends, the only way to get out of hell is to stay out. There is no back door to hell. Once a soul is lost in death, the soul is forever lost. The greatest thrill, my friends, that can come to a human being is knowing that under God, you have been responsible. Humanly speaking, for bringing someone to Jesus Christ for salvation. For deeper, my friends, for deeper understanding of Master's program, let's look at another passage that is called the Great Commission of the Old Testament. It is found in Psalms 126, verse 5 to 6. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. And contains a number of parallels concerning this great ministry of winning souls to Christ. This is what the Bible says. Psalms 126, verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There are at least four truths, my friends, in this passage, And all of them starting letter C. Number one, concern. In verse 6, the Bible says, He. That involves us. That involves you and me. He that goeth forth. The concern, my friends, involves our personal attention to reaching the lost for Christ. Holding our place in here in Psalms 126. And let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. Where we read, the Bible says, And Jesus, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37, Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. When we read the passage, my friends, church, when we read a passage like this, instantly we should picture over 6 billion people who need to be rich. They are few who are doing anything about it. Notice how Jesus characterizes them. Number one, they were faint. They were faint. The word faint means weary, fatigued, and heavily burdened. Jesus saw the people, my friends, Jesus saw the people burdened with much religion. They were burdened with the weightier matter of the law that did not reach their deep spiritual needs. Do we not see that today, my friends? Do we not see that today in the religious world in which we live? There are more church members and more religion or religious people on earth today than there ever have been. But church members do not necessarily belong to God unless they have come through the miracle of the new birth. Amen? Religion does not save souls. We are cleansed from sin by the blood of Jesus, not by a religious association. Not only that, my friend, not only they were faint, but also they were scattered abroad. They were scattered abroad. They reminded Jesus of a flock of a sheep having no shepherd. They lacked guidance, my friends. They had no one to lead them, and tragedy was sure to befall them. People without God are not only helpless, they are hopeless and bound for hell. Our text tells us Jesus was stirred. Jesus was stirred when he saw the multitudes. His heart was grieved and he was moved with deep compassion. When Jesus saw not only affected his eyes, but his heart. Just as Jesus was overcome by sympathy for these multitudes, today, He still moved with compassion. He is saying to us what He said to His disciples in verse 37, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Jesus saw not only the great fields of the people ready for the harvest, but He saw only a few laborers. Someone said, Pretenders, here we met, here were many, but laborers few. The harvest was ready to spoil. The masses were ready to be taught, but there was not one to teach them. The masses were wandering around longing for something to satisfy their heart, my friend, but the laborers were so few compared to multitudes of people. Let me stop for a moment and say something about masses around us. I don't believe Jesus was speaking to us about reaching the unknown masses in someone unreachable place. Someone unreachable place. Rather, in this passage, I believe our Lord was speaking of those in our world, our neighbors, our friends, our families, our business associates. He was speaking of those with whom we rub elbows in the town of Newport News, or in the town here in Virginia, or in the Philippines, my friend, anywhere people are outside of Jesus Christ. I have often, my friends, we can see in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. My friend, we can see in verse 39, the Bible says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. When it comes right down to our concern for those in our world, who need a redemptive experience of in Christ and our personal involvement in that, the laborers are very few. Few in many churches today, and most churches, my friends. Now, our text is telling us to be witnesses in the world in which we live, my friends. Therefore, our object as a church is to live and labor for the cause of souls, that we may change that few into many. What is the purpose, my friends, that we can see here in Community Bible Church? What is the purpose for this church? Why are we here? We are here. We are here as a church and as individuals to reach out with the Word of God into the harvest field of His community. Second letter C, my friends. Second letter C, we can see not only concern, but also compassion. Compassion, my friends. Let's return in Psalms 126. 126 verse 5. 126 verse 5. If you can see, they that sow in tears. And in verse number 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Where are the tears for lost souls on their way to Christless eternity? Oh, there are plenty, my friends, there are plenty of tears over the loss of life, over the loss of possessions, and over the hurts in this world that we experience. But where are the tears for the lost people of this world who are dying without Christ? These tears requires the heart filled with compassion. We just read that when Christ saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion. In another place, we read that Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. And as He saw people lost and perishing and going to hell. We read in Acts chapter 20 where the Apostle Paul in Ephesus, by a space of 3 years, ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. We read in Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, as he wept over the lost nations of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 1, oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes are a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for my people. What is the secret, my friends, to being moved to tears? To being moved to tears, I believe it is a vivid picture of Luke chapter 16 and imagining the lost dying in hell forever and ever. I believe it is closer walk with the Lord, the closer we walk with Him, the greater the feeling we will have for the lost souls of men. Passion is borrowed thing. No man naturally had a passion for souls. Christ in the heart create that passion. Not only concern, not only compassion. Third thing that we can see, condition. Condition, my friend. In Psalms 126, let's return in Psalms 126, in verse 6, the page being or bearing precious seeds. Verse 6. According to Luke chapter 8, verse 11, in the Lord's parable of the sower and the seed is the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, we read, being born again, not of corruptible things, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The seed, my friend, is the word of God. The word of God sown in soil of the human heart, which has the potential to create everlasting life. In Psalms 126, the sower is literally planting the word of God in the heart of human soul. So how can we create, my friends, a really practical way to bear precious seeds? We can use gospel tracts. Amen? We can use gospel tracts. Let me encourage you, my friends, each week during this coming, this year, my friends, to make it a point to personally, prayerfully, thoughtfully, and compassionately hand 5 tracts to 5 different individuals. As you do, you may prayerfully sing, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win the soul for thee. Someone said, if the gospel is really good news of Christ's death and resurrection to you, you cannot keep from repeating it to others. And if you are not repeating it, then it must be good news even to you. Since it is a such good news, then we ought to shout it to the whole world around us. We read in Psalms 126, we are to go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. We are to go forth everywhere, planting the seed of the word of God in the soil of human heart. That's why even in the Philippines, you support us in the Philippines because you want us, the word of God to be planted in their hearts. In verse 6, the Hebrew translation for bearing precious seed is crying aloud of seed. It reads, he goes for weeping and carrying a whole basket full of seed. My friends, there is one thing that we can do, which is one of the greatest of all ministries. Remember back in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38? Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Jesus said, pray ye. Amen? Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He would send laborers. We can all pray. Amen? Not all can go, but all of us can pray. We can all pray for those that go forth into the harvest. Prayer is very important. We usually ask for prayers for us. It is not easy to be in the mission field. But through your prayers, we can do something for the Lord. Not only concern, compassion. What's more, my friend? What's the third one? Condition. And number 4, and last. Amen? The coming. the coming, my friends. Coming. In verse 6, the Bible says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. As you go forth weeping, casting handfuls of precious seed of the word of God, you will come rejoicing. You will come rejoicing not only down here in your soul, but also with those in heaven who are rejoicing over a sinner saved by grace. The scripture says in Luke chapter 15 verse 7, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. In heaven, there is some old-fashioned shouting, glory, praise God, hallelujah, when a soul is saved. Not only you will come rejoicing, you will come bringing. With the precious souls that you have seen to Christ, to Jesus Christ, let me close with this question, my friends. How many people thus far in your lifetime have you influenced for Christ's sake? Remember this, others are watching us all the time. They are listening to our words and to the tone with which we speak them. They are being impacted by decisions we made and the examples we set. We might think that influencing just one person doesn't do much, but our God can turn the plus sign sideways and multiply our example. The person we win to Christ or encourage in the Lord will win or encourage someone else. As Acts chapter 12 verse 24 said, the word of God grew and multiplied. You probably never heard this story. There is a name, you probably never heard the name Ellen Riley, but perhaps you've heard the best-selling Christian writer Eugene Price or Eugenia Price. The latter was born in Charleston, West Virginia, where her father was a dentist. At the age of 10, Eugenia decided she wanted to be a writer. And as a young adult, she became a successful writer of radio scripts. As a bow atheist, she had no qualms about feeling the growing entertainment appetite of post-war. Of post-war America with whatever contained she could sell. But her success didn't bring happiness. She wrote, life is terribly heavy when you have spent your life convincing yourself and everyone else that you are success. There she ran into her childhood friend, Ellen Riley. Ellen Riley, who was a Christian, under Ellen's quiet but persistent witness, Eugenia Price was born again in a New York City hotel room on October 2, 1949. In 1953, Eugenia published her first Christian novel. By her death in 1996, she had written 14 novels, 22 inspirational books, and 3 biographies. Her book have sold over 40 million copies, and most of her novels appeared on the New York Times bestsellers list. She was a regular speaker at the church and civic events. She touched and told millions through radio, through spoken words, and the printed page. And as she paved the way for all subsequent Christian fiction writers, Ellen Riley was undoubtedly excited about winning her childhood friend, A person of one. A person of one. But she could have imagined how God's multiplication table would take over. That's how the church in the book of Acts, from 12 to 120 to 3,000 to 5,000, to multiply converts, to multiply cities, reach for Christ. How encouraging, my friends, that we can see, because we encouraging to realize we don't have to preach in stadium to 100,000 people, but over the course of our life, we can influence 100,000 and so much, and so many more. When we reach people by single digits, addition turns to multiplication as God crunches the numbers and touches each one with grace. My friend, I will ask you in this question, how many people will your life impact for Christ in 2017? How many people will your life impact for Christ in 2017? May the Lord maximize and multiply each effort, each contact, each gift, and each one this year. And I hope that this message been a blessing to you. Thank you so much.